Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Praise God. I feel like praise God and pass the ammunition. I think the devil's trembling at the presence of God, don't you? Boy, it's good to be here today, and it's good to have all of you. And I just want to say to all of those that are visiting, you're a visiting family because you had someone being baptized. If you're visiting with us today because of that, I would like to you to stand up. We just want to honor you today and pray for you. So if you're with the family, that got baptized, please stand to your feet. Maybe you're not visitors, but just stand to your feet. Some of you are not visitors. Stand to your feet. Okay. Yes, Lord. We want to recognize you in families. We want to recognize all the families because we know that VBS wasn't the only thing that did it. We know that families were praying for the little ones. And you were with them and talking to them about Jesus and instructing them in the ways of the Lord. And we want to honor that. We want to recognize that because, you know, this past June in VBS, it was just the harvest of what you've planted. Amen? It was just the harvest of what you planted. So we want to make sure we recognize that. And let's just pray for them. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that all these that were baptized and in these families, God, that they would feel a belonging. They would feel a hope. They would feel the presence of the Lord in the home. And Lord, I pray that you'll give all the parents and all the relatives the words and the spirit of God that they need to be able to raise these little ones up in the ways and admonition of the Lord. So give them great peace and give them the security of living in a home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Shout to the Lord. Give him a shout. Yes, Lord. I also want to give you a praise report. You know, how many of you remember that we've been praying for Connor, a 15-year-old teenager that had been struggling with suicide and with other issues, but just struggling with his wanting to live? How many of you remember praying for him? Okay. Well, I've got some good news for you. He is doing better. Amen. He's in a facility now that is helping him come along, and we've been praying for him to find the place that he finds the help that he needs, and we're asking the Lord to do it instantaneously, like a miracle. You know, some of those things, healings don't always come that way. You know, amen. Sometimes they can be instantaneous, and sometimes it just takes a little time for the process to take place. Jericho happened in Israel's life, but every battle that Israel had was not a Jericho moment. All they had to do was blow the trumpets, walk around and shout, and the walls of Jericho did what? I want you to know something. They didn't fall like this. They found the walls of Jericho. The walls fell like this. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But they discovered the walls of Jericho, and they were intact. And so we don't always have those Jericho. I really wished every moment that we had of struggle was a Jericho moment, and we just either blow the shofar or shout or sing or something, and all of a sudden it's gone. Some of those we have. But how many of you know that the children of Israel had to take step by step into the promised land and fight giants as they showed up and fought the enemy as they showed up? Sometimes the walls fall like this. Sometimes we've got to chisel brick by brick. But we're not going to stop until they're gone. Amen? Is that true? But anyway, we just want to praise God for that report and ask the Lord to continue in Connor's life to deliver him from all the things that he feels like has him trapped. But he is becoming a little bit more free. So let's just pause for a minute just to pray for Connor. Would you do that with me? Father, we just lift up Connor in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the good report. Thank you for the progress that he has made. And Lord, we just ask you to stand on your freedom and in your freedom on Connor's behalf. And Lord, we ask you to continue to deliver this young man, continue to raise him up, continue to set him on the path of destiny that you had for him before he was ever born. So, Father, in Jesus' name, bring freedom and deliverance to him for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I tell you, I can leave now. Really, I can. Don't ask me to. I can leave now and know that I've been in God's presence. I've worshiped God. I have felt the presence of God. I have seen the works of God. I've heard the word of God already. So, but I'm not going to let you go home yet. I want to speak to you just briefly, really. And I want to talk to you about the need of belonging. You know, when you saw all of these little ones and adults too coming in and being baptized, and you know, when a name was announced, we all applauded. And then when that same person was baptized, we all applauded. Did y'all notice that? Each person got a double applaud. That should not stop. We should celebrate their lives. As a matter of fact, we should celebrate the life of everybody. They have a name. It's very important to have a name to really start belonging. You know, some kids don't have names because they're orphans. But, you know, some kids living in a home, can live in a home, have great parents, and have a great family, but still feel like an orphan. And the reason being is because they never have settled this thing about belonging. There are men and women, boys and girls, all over this land that have the behaviors that they don't want to do, things they don't want to see, that they don't want to be involved in, but yet somehow they just get drawn into it. And a lot of times that comes from not belonging. Even if you're in a good home, you can still have that play out in your life. Because it's just not settled that you belong, you have a purpose, you have a destiny, and you have somebody that loves you even when they know you. This thing of belonging is in research, it says it's one of the biggest human needs that mankind has. The sense that we belong. We fit. We are accepted. We are loved. We are embraced. And it settles inside us. See, just because you're in a home that loves you, just because you're in a home that provides for you, just because you're in a home that everything that you ever needed is there, doesn't mean you have already settled this thing about you belong. Which means also this, just because you come to church, just because you sing, and just because you raise your hands, doesn't make you a Christian. Why? That has to come from the Spirit of God. To be born in this world is one thing. To be born again of the Spirit is totally different. So we have to understand that we have people that are in the church a lot of times that still don't have that sense of belonging, that I belong here. In other words, this is my what? Home. This is my family. Say it together. This is my family. I want you to listen to this passage, listen to this verse, really part of the verse. Psalms 68, 66. God places the lonely in families. God places the lonely in families. Notice he didn't say in family. In families. See, we need to understand that it is God's purpose for you to always feel like you belong. That's been his purpose from the very beginning, that you belong to him and he belongs to you. Everyone that's been born again, you belong to him and he belongs to you. We can celebrate that, being born again of the Spirit of God. By the way, that birthing of the Spirit is very unique because you're born of the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that has touched your heart and then given you the invitation to receive and say yes and to welcome Christ into your life. But see, that birthing is of a spirit, as of a seed that the Bible says is incorruptible. It's what? So your birth is what? Talk to me. Incorruptible. Well, I'm going to use this side over here, see how y'all are. You're born again of an incorruptible seed. Can't be corrupted. We'll try this side. You're born again of an incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. Yes. Yes, Lord. I appreciate that. I love that. I am grateful to God for that, because my spirit's incorruptible, because it's born of an incorruptible seed, the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, there is a sense of peace that God wants to give people about who they are and about who he is in their life. And he wants to layer that upon us in a way that it doesn't come off. Incorruptible seed. But he said, God places the lonely in families. See, we should promote families. We should promote the belonging. See, all of these that have received Christ and are baptized, they belong. They belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to them. See, but that needs to get down inside us. You know, it's almost like this. It's almost like this. If you just fall in love and not merge in that love, somewhere along the line, you can fall out of love. See, we have to merge into the love that we fell into. If we fell in love, you know, it's not just, okay, I fell. See, a falling is like an accident. I accidentally met Brenda, how long ago? 56 years. 56 years. Accidentally met Brenda. I didn't know she was going to be there. Married her 3 years later. And I'm still learning to love her. It's not because of her. You hear that? It's not because of her. It's because I've got something written in the Bible that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for. I'm still learning how to do that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So even though we may have fallen in love, we grew in that love as we were around each other. So there were growth. There was growth that came from the love, and we merged. You understand what we grew together in love. That wasn't in my notes, by the way, but I thought it was good. Anyway. So we understand this thing about, you know, about being born again of the Spirit of God, but have we grown in the Spirit? Have we grown in the kingdom? Or are we still infantile in our nature, in our belief, in our walk, in our ways? Are we still infantile? See, we can still be infantile and not do the work that God says we need to be doing. A lot of that comes about because we don't feel like we belong. And it's not settled inside us. Sometimes we want the approval and we want the significance of who I am. Not just be used for what you can do. We search for that significance of being, of belonging, and having a purpose. And when we don't have that settled inside us, we begin looking for that in all the wrong places. We try to find that significance through drugs, through illicit relationships, through all different aspects of life that we're hunting. We're looking for that significance to belong. In other words, somebody who will genuinely, fully know me and yet genuinely still love me fully. That needs to be the church. Then you have some people that are coming to the church in search of that longing, in search of that being, in search of that wanting to be everything that they needed to be or are supposed to be in God, but yet they feel empty. And unfortunately, in some cases, people can come with that need and yet get pushed away because we don't think they belong. They don't look right, they don't dress right, they don't have enough money. All of these things a church can grow up to repel people instead of draw people because we're lifting up Jesus. I was asked by a pastor, a couple of pastors at different times in the neighborhood, and said, "Well, which demographic are you after?" And I said, and I knew what demographic meant, and I said, "Well, what does demographic mean to you?" He said, "What group of people are you targeting?" And I said, A-L-L, all. No. Which one are you really reaching out to? I said, all. I want every person that's alive to feel welcome in this house because of God's presence. Not because of how we do things, but because of His presence. Because there'll be things that we do that won't meet every need that is in the house. But I'm telling you, with God's presence, those things are saying, I mean, those things just fall by the wayside. See, we can have a meeting without Him, and all we've got is a meeting. But when we have a meeting in His name, with Him, with His presence, and in His presence, but see, if we're not careful, we'll look for different mechanisms so we can gain the significance, so we can gain that belonging that we're so in search for. We can suppress emotions. We can be driven to perfectionism. We can drive ourselves to succeed. We can withdraw and become passive because we have shame and fear. We attack those who hurt us, and we can hurt those who love us. And we punish ourselves when we fail. We're trying to replace people and God with stuff. With more people, with other people's assurance instead of having His. So we look for alternatives and we're driven to find them. And we don't have that sense of belonging. So we see that broken behavior comes usually from someone feeling like an orphan. I don't belong. I don't have a name. I'm not connected. I tell you, turn to a couple of people around you. And say your name and say, "It's good to have you today." Just go ahead and do that. Two or three people. Amen. See, that was a connection. See, that was a connection. That's the beginning. That could begin a conversation with that same person that's after church. And you probably never spoke to them before. Maybe you don't know them. Maybe they're in your family and you just now spoke to them. I'm messing with you. See, true belonging in God's view is to be fully known and still fully loved. Still fully loved. In the Bible, it talks about, you know, see, some people come wanting that significance, and if they don't get to do what they want to do, they get upset. Y'all with me? You know, we need to have the attitude that's in the Psalms that said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to live in the tent of the wicked. Come right in. Thank you. Come right in. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. See, when we come in and say, no, I don't want to be the doorkeeper. I want to be the worship leader. Start by being a doorkeeper. If you're not faithful in the little bitty things, you won't be given the greater things to do. So the enemy tries to put them, you're more significant than that. You're above that. Don't pick up that piece of paper. Don't pick up that. Don't. You know, they pay people to do that. You hear me? Somebody told me, this has been a while back, somebody told me, said, Pastor, and I said, yes, the commode is overflowing. And I said, I'll get right on it. Went and got the mop, went and got, really? And it's like, and finally, two or three people said, what are you doing? Oh, commode's overflowing. I'll get that. I'm saying thank you, and thank you. Yeah. But we're not, you know, when we start positioning ourselves above, then we've already said, I belong more than you do. Or you can say, I've been here 25 years, and this person that just walked in got my seat. I might be meddling. I don't know if that's preaching or not. That might be meddling. But see, here's the thing. See, they come into the church looking for a people that, hey, they belong to God. They must act like God at least if they belong to Him and He belongs to them. But yet they don't find what they need because we haven't fully loved them when we fully get to know them. And because we do that, people don't want to open up their lives because they feel the shame, and when they reach out and all we do is reject, or we look and say, then they're not going to come and talk to you. As a matter of fact, they probably won't come back. Well, because every human being needs that sense of belonging. I belong here. I belong connected with these people. These are my people. God says, you know, that you belong to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Little children belong to Jesus. Matthew 19:14, the church, the bride, belong to Jesus, the bridegroom. That's John 3:29. Whoever belongs to God hears the voice of God. That's John 8:47. And everyone that belong to the Son also belong to the Father. That's in John 16:15. So you belong. Whether we live or die, we belong to God. Romans 14:8. Then we belong, the Bible says that we belong to each other. We don't belong to ourselves. By the way, he says, you are not your own. I have redeemed you. You are not your own. So anytime we say, well, I'm my own man. Well, you might be a man, but you're not your own if you're born again, because God said you belong to me. You're not your own. I heard a man say one time, he said, I'll tell you right now, I'm a self-made man. And somebody else looked at him and said, you look it. He must not have done a good job on himself. Anyway, then it says you don't belong to this world anymore. You belong to the kingdom, and you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the church. I'm gonna switch gears right for a minute, because this is the point I want to get to. John 4. I want you to go there. John 4. Jesus came to Samaria. And he came and he was wearied, and it was about noon, and he went to this well, and it was Jacob's well. And there came this Samaritan woman to draw water, and she saw Jesus sitting there. She'd walked about a mile and a half to come and get water from Jacob's well, and he looks at her. Number one, he's not supposed to talk to a woman. Number two, he's not supposed to talk to a Samaritan. They didn't like each other. The Jews, they were used to be part of the Israel, and they still are, but what they did, they took in false worship, false gods. And the other two tribes of Benjamin and Judah, they said, look, we're not going to mix and mingle with false, intermarry with false nations. So they didn't like each other. So he looks at her and he begins to say, he said, give me a drink. The disciples had gone away to get food, and the Samaritan woman, look, she knows he's not supposed to be talking to her and not supposed to be having anything to do with her, because they don't like each other. They hate each other. Here's a response. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? She's already got this mechanism built in that he's going to reject me because, number one, I'm a woman. Number two, I'm a Samaritan. So how is it that you're going to ask me for a drink when I'm a woman and I'm a Samaritan woman? How is it? Because you have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So now not only is he speaking to her, he's having a dialogue with her. Now she sees, listen, you have to understand that right off the bat, she's saying, why are you talking to me? You know we don't like each other. You know we're not supposed to, you know that. Why are you even talking to me? And then he continues the dialogue. Watch, he continues the dialogue. So first is there a connection, and then there's a conversation. He said, well, if you'd known the gift that you're talking to, you'd ask him for the gift and water, and he'd give you living water. Then she says, sir. You see the change? All of a sudden, he's not rejected her. He's in dialogue with her. He's not rejecting her. She don't feel the rejection from him right off. She says, sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty, and I won't have to come all this way to draw. He said to her, he said, now here's the part that most of us get wrong. You ready? You have to reach over, get your seat belt, fasten it up real good, okay? Here's the part where most of us get wrong. Watch what he does. Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus answered and he said to her, you have said, well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are with now is not your husband. This you have said truly. Then the woman openly says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Then she says, our father. Watch this. She didn't say my father. She said our. Now she's including Jesus in saying our Father. By the way, that's how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. He said, pray in this manner. He didn't say, my Father. He said, go on the basis that you're part of a family. He's not just your Father. He is our Father. And say, our Father. We all belong. Not just I belong. Our Father. But anyway. Said we, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and but you people, I like that, huh? You people say, let's see, I lost my place here. You people say that it's Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither this you'll not in this mountain or nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know. And salvation is from the Jews, but an hour is coming, and now is, that when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. What he's telling her, he said, look, the day is coming, and now is, that you won't have to go to a place. Worship won't be, you have to go to this place in order to do it. You'll be able to worship no matter where you are. You'll be able to worship and praise God wherever you are. I pray. So now he's teaching her. That's another thing. You're not allowed to teach women. Matter of fact, there was a priest in Jesus' day, Elzar, a rabbi, and he said, I would rather burn the Torah than teach it to a woman. So now you see what's happening in this culture. Unless you know the culture, you're not understanding what. See, everybody's thinking, okay, he's revealing her sin. Mm-mm. When you look at this story and you look deep into the bare roots of it, look what he's telling her. He's saying, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. He said, you said right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. Jesus has made a connection with a woman. Number one, she's a woman. She's a Samaritan. Don't have anything to do with her. She's got this lifestyle that people are saying, man, this is a bad lifestyle. But I've got news for you. When you understand the Jewish culture, women could not put away or could not divorce men. Got it? Five men have rejected her after marriage and divorced her. Five. She didn't belong anywhere. Five. Five men put her away. Five men said, you don't belong. And actually, and Jesus goes on to the point of saying, and the one you're with now won't marry you. You feel it? She's been rejected by five men. They divorced, and women couldn't divorce men. Men could divorce women. Five. You're not valuable enough. There's something wrong with you. You don't fit in. I don't want you. Five. And the one she's with now says, I'm going to live with you, but I'm not going to marry you. Whole story begins to change. God did not do that. Jesus didn't do that to expose her sin. Why? Listen, I'm not going to read the verses, but when you read, it said, after this dialogue happened with her and the Lord, see, there was a connection made. Give me water. Give me a drink of water. The connection not supposed to be made, but he made it. Why? He stepped over the barrier of fault. He stepped over the barrier of shunning. He stepped over the barrier. You're not supposed to talk to these people. You're not supposed to mingle with these people. Jesus stepped over the barrier and said, give me a drink. And just because he spoke, she began to say, well, you know, why are you asking me this? You're not supposed to be asking me this. And then the dialogue continues and to the place of saying, oh, okay, go back and get your husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. You said that you've told the truth. You've had five, and the one you're with is not your husband. He didn't condemn her. He wasn't there to expose her sin. He was there to let her know, I know you've been rejected time after time after time after time after time. And you're being rejected now because you're with a man and he will not marry you. Jesus has now reached across every barrier that could ever be just to prove to that woman, you're valuable to me. I don't care what the others think about you. I don't care how the others have treated you. I won't treat you that way. I know this. I mean, he knew that not because he was God. He knew that by the Spirit. See, he knew all about her, but he was saying, come on. So he reached across. But see, the Bible says that when she left, you have to get to when she left, she didn't even take her water pot with her. She walked about a mile and a half to get water, and she was so impacted by the connection, by the way he felt, by the way he caused her to feel valuable. Valuable. Knowing that all this tragedy is going on in her life, he said, I'm not going to divorce you. I'm not going to reject you. I know about you. And then she goes to the city. She leaves her water pot behind her. She runs to the city. And what does she do? Come see a man. Yeah. Watch this. Come see a man that has told me what I've done wrong. And here she is telling other people about it. Listen, she's not, look, can you imagine? Hey, you need to come see this man. He'll tell you everything that you've done wrong and just condemn you for it. She didn't feel condemned. What did she feel? What did she feel? Valued, loved, accepted, with an understanding, I know these things have happened in your life, but I'm reaching for you. I see the value that you have. And he made her feel like she belonged for the first time. She had significance in her life. And the reason I know that he didn't condemn her and she didn't feel the condemnation, she went and told the city, and the city started coming out to it. Now, God, I tell you what, just go to a city, Doug. Just go out and start saying, hey, come to our church. He'll start naming every sin you got in front of everybody. Ain't nobody going to come. Amen. You know what I'm saying? No, but when you're able to come and you know you haven't lived a perfect life, but yet we love you anyway, and we're saying, come to Jesus. Amen. The acceptance that we give because we love people regardless of what they've done doesn't mean that we say, keep doing that. We'll teach you how not to do that, but we're going to love you the whole way. Not just because you have fallen, but the church has a bad habit of kicking their own when they fall, or they just move on when they fall. No, help them. Why? The belonging is you fully know who I am, and yet you fully love me as I am. So the men and the people at the city hears it, and they're drawn to the very acceptance of Jesus. And they go to the place and go looking for him. But you know what they say? See, the reason I know it's not condemnation, they ask him to stay. Stay with us. Come live with us. Come stay with us. And the Bible said that Jesus stayed 2 or 3 days. I think it was 2 days. He stayed 2 days and 2 nights. Why? Because he loved them anyway. He made them feel valued. He made them feel worthy. He made them feel accepted, and he made them feel loved regardless. The church has got to find that place in our own that we belong, and the people that come, we need to treat them like they belong. They are family. Amen. Ada Vale Baptist Church across the street. I didn't know it till this morning. They've had a lot of COVID cases come up, so they made a decision to protect people, and all that. So, but we felt the need to what? Pray for them. Why? We're all family. As Terry has said, when one suffers, we all suffer. So we've got. It's not about, well, look at us. They ain't looking at nobody. We're nothing without him. We have a building and lights and a new sign. We're nothing without him. Amen. So what would it be like if we all got that place of belonging? That no matter where we are. See, listen to the Paul and Silas was in jail. Listen to this, but they belonged. They belonged. That's the reason they could sing at midnight. They belonged. They knew they belonged. They belonged to him. And they're going to sing to the one whom they belong to. And the one whom they belong to sort of rattles the jailhouse. And, you know, you heard it say one time before, Elvis is the one that sang about the jailhouse rock, but God did it. God wanted opened up the jail. Why? Because they're praising God. And even the other prisoners, their shackles fell off. Ooh. Think about the very presence that you begin when you sing praise because you know you belong. You belong to him and he belongs to you. None of that other stuff's going to matter. No need to fear shame because he's already taken the shame. No need to fear because he's taken your fear. He's given you this year the security that you need. Now, is there anybody here that you feel like there's part of an orphan spirit that has attached itself to you and you want to get rid of that today? You want to say, sometimes I feel like I just don't fit in. See, you can fit in and still not feel like you belong. So is there anybody here that says, I think just maybe there may be something of an orphanism that is connected to me that's holding me back and it doesn't make me feel like I belong. I still think I've got to search and I've still got to work to attain. Is anybody in here that feels that way? I want you to stand to your feet. Just, I'm not going to ask you to come down. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. I'm not going to ask you to come down. God bless you. God bless you. See, the message is not just generic so you can hear it and go. The generic is to be able to, the message is to take it in and say, okay, did that touch me? Did that touch my life? Did that touch my heart? Anybody else, real quick? Something of an orphan spirit that might still be hanging around you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to tell each and every one of you. Keep standing. I want you to tell each and every one of you. You're welcome here. You're part of our family. Whether you go to another church or whether you go to this one, you're part of our family. And we're going to pray for you. And so our congregation, so they won't feel so standing out, I want you to just stand to your feet. And I just want you to pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have seen these that have stood up. You have seen these that have rose up from their seat to say, there's something about that I want out of my life so I won't have to feel like I'm an orphan anymore. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to go deep inside their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions. And I ask you now, deliver them from this orphanism, from this thought process that they don't have anybody, they don't belong to anybody. Lord, I pray that you would begin to put deep inside them a sense of belonging. Because number one, they belong to you. If they've made these decisions to be yours and to accept you into their life, they belong to you and you belong to them. And I ask you now in Jesus' name that the thought processes that they have would begin to be renewed and that they would begin to think how you think concerning them, that they are precious, that they are truly your sons and your daughters, and that you love them even though you know everything about them. You love them. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give us as a church, us as a people, the people of God, that we would be able to give that same love to others. Even when we know what they've done, we'll love them anyway. Even when we see what they've done, we will love them anyway. And we will reach out and reach across the aisle to them. And Father, I pray that this would be a stirring in our midst and of the Spirit of God moving in our hearts, that our lives would be changed in such a way that everyone that comes into contact with us that they will sense the presence of God. They would sense that there's love coming from each and every one of us. Lord, and we would embrace and accept and show them who Jesus really is. That he's not the condemner, he's the redeemer. Hallelujah. He's not the condemner, he is the redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Stay there. I've got one. You get that? Terry, you got something?
It'll wait past because it has to do with us.
Okay.
I'm going to pray a mother's blessing over you, and I just want you to close your eyes. On the day you were born, the Lord rejoiced over you, and he called you his. You have a purpose, and you have a destiny, and you will fulfill your destiny. And I call you forth today to reach your destiny and your purpose. And I speak the peace of the Lord over you. The peace of the Lord rest upon you all your days, in your coming in and in your going out. So peace of the Lord come now, and rest upon them in Jesus' name.
Remain with your eyes closed. I want to pray a Father's blessing. I speak to you today with an understanding that I have not been a perfect father. Your father wasn't a perfect father. But I speak to you today saying you have the blessings of the Father. You have the assurance that I'll never leave you or forsake you. You have the confidence that I will give you boldness to come to me even when you're weak. The Lord God has given you his name, his life, his Son, his Spirit, to accomplish everything in your life that needs to be accomplished. And I bless you with an everlasting love from the Father himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Hold on just a second. Amen. Amen.
Hey, everybody. First, let me say that nobody was hurt. None of the kids were hurt. But we did have a car that seemed to come out of gear, and it went down, and it crashed into the playground down there. But none of our kids were out there. We did have an usher down there. And so right now we have somebody. Justin went down to check the footage because our youth pastor did say that he possibly saw somebody maybe checking car doors. So we're going to check and make sure that that was not the case. But if you have kids down there, will you please be careful going down? We have ushers down there that will direct you to pick up your kids and just help you flow out of there nice and safely. Once again, nobody got hurt. We did have somebody down there watching over and everything. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. So as you go down there to pick up your kids, as they say in the Army, don't lollygag.
Don't lollygag.
Don't lollygag. Like I said, we have people right down there right now, and we're trying to figure out if the car for some reason just came out of gear or if there were somebody out there. That's what we were checking earlier, and then we had this happen. So once again, our job is just to keep you safe, and we're doing our best to do that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. What do you think's on everybody's mind right now? Is it mine? Is it mine? We'll go see. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.